In this episode, we're going to talk about sound and music in your business video and how to use it to help you achieve your goals.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
What is up? What is up? All right, an interesting episode today. I want to talk with you about one of the most important topics in video marketing that is probably the least discussed. Yeah, it's got to be the least discussed, but it's super important. When you get it wrong, your audience knows and they respond accordingly by not wanting to be interested in your videos. So today we're going to be talking about sound and music in your business videos and how to use it the right way. And that's why I'm joined in studio right now by Strons Vanderplug, Wirebuzz's director of video production. Hey, Strons.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
Nice to have you. You know, Strons, you've been all over the place, man. I mean, you're just packing right now to go on a shoot. Can you give me a little heads up of where you were last week?
Last week, we were bouncing around two separate shoots in the Phoenix area. So one was kind of east side and one was really west side. Next week, we're bouncing down to kind of southern Arizona, down to Coolidge. And then to wrap the week up, we're going to go to Beverly Hills. And then the following week, it's off to San Francisco in the Bay Area.
Now, Strons did something like 45 flights last year. Thank you, Southwest. And leads our production. It's really helpful to not only be on location, but then see the content that you are a part of when you get back into editing it all up.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever we're out filming, we're always capturing, you know, multiple cameras. And then it's really in editing where all that stuff kind of comes together and you start to paint the picture.
Absolutely. All right. So we've done, this is now episode 95. And yet I don't think we've talked about one of the most important topics. I'm almost embarrassed that it's taken this long to get to it, but let's talk about sound. We'll get to music in a little bit. Music really comes in post-production, but sound really starts when you're planning and how many mics you need and all that. Why is sound so important to map out, to have an idea of the quality and to plan it before the shoot day?
Well, it definitely makes sense to be talking about sound on a podcast as everyone's listening to us right now. But sound is really important. It's half of the video is sound. I mean, a lot of people think about video as just the picture. And now with social media, a lot of different platforms are kind of muting sound to begin with. But what about the people who click the volume on or watch the video on a website or maybe it comes to their email? Sound is so important. If you look at any Hollywood production, sound is like an entire department of people, countless people on the crew taking care of all those different aspects of sound. And that's why getting sound design right matters so much, because it really is half of the video.
And making sure that sound is crisp, has the right levels, that the mic has the right distance away, all of those are essential to making sure that your finished product is professional, high quality, and a joy to really watch.
Yeah, just as much as we spend time setting up the cameras and getting the lenses right and making sure that the lighting is perfect and pristine, we spend just as much time making sure that the microphones are placed in the appropriate spot, making sure that our levels are dialed in, and then even in post-production, making sure that we're manipulating that sound in such a way so it sounds its absolute best. You can just imagine looking at video of some person talking, and if you can't hear them, that video is not very valuable at all. And that's why making sure that there's no, you know, room tone or hiss or noise or low levels, that like that it's almost like you don't want people to notice the sound. It should just be seamless. It should be kind of in the background. Someone shouldn't listen to it and go, oh, that sounds really bad. Like there's a lot of echo or it's just, you know, annoying or distracting in some way. You kind of want it seamless so people don't notice it. And if they don't notice it, that's probably a good thing.
Now, recently we had a shoot in Chicago. Yeah, you were there. I was in Chicago also. And I think there was something like, we were filming an advisory board for one of our clients where they had 15 people in a room, kind of in a U shape, and they were all mic'd up. And it was really just for internal use. It wasn't going to be used publicly. This is a video where the company can hear from its key stakeholders on where they think the direction of the company is going, where it's not firing on all cylinders, and how to position their product. But you had to run 15 mics all into, you know, one audio board. How difficult is that to keep all those different voices, you know, working in the same levels?
it's definitely a challenge, but it's one that we're up to. It's really important in that kind of situation where we are there to capture the content, especially the spoken content of what these people have as feedback, that we capture that audio in a way that is intelligible. You can understand what's being spoken. And that's why we had microphones for every single person, so that when anytime someone would be talking, we could isolate their sound, mute everyone else, so you can really focus on what's being said on one side of the room while, you know, someone might be whispering on the other side or someone's taking a drink from their beverage. And we're constantly monitoring all that for an entire day to make sure that the final product is viewable and is watchable, and that whoever's watching it can understand what's being said, because that's the most important thing from that particular shoot.
You know, I love what you brought up. I love how that all has to be organized. And I know I was a part of the early organization and selecting out the way that room was going to be laid out. That's all really cool. Now, I watched something in a video recently that we did, and it was a testimonial video. And like you mentioned earlier, with great audio, you shouldn't even really, it should be an afterthought, right? But I saw something that happened in this video, and I thought it was brilliant. And it was, as we were doing a testimonial, we cut away from the person talking. We went to some supportive B-roll of them cooking in the kitchen. They actually were talking about how much they love cooking. It was part of the story. But as we were doing B-roll and you were hearing them talk, you actually heard the knife cut through the vegetable on the cutting board. And when I heard that, it actually pulled me deeper into the story because I was there. It's really smart.
Yeah, it's all about building atmosphere and an environment. A lot of people will, when they're producing a video, they'll have the visual content, the video itself, and then they'll maybe have some music or a voiceover. But there's layers that you can go deeper within that. You can add sound effects and to do sound design to really build the space and the environment, make a feeling rather than just seeing something happen. It's really nice when you can hear it, because then you see it, you hear it, and you feel it. And that's why with like cooking or anything like running or riding a motorcycle or some of the other videos that we've done, it's really important that you add that element of sound design so that when someone is watching it, they feel like they're a part of the story and they feel connected.
Now, last week you filmed, I think we had two different client shoots happening at the same time, roughly. And yet I think both of them had cooking involved. Is that right?
Yeah, both food-based videos. So one was kind of more of a commercial for a restaurant, and the other set of videos is kind of like how-to social media recipe style videos.
Oh, okay. Interesting. In the cooking commercial, do you use some of that actual sound that you captured and build it into the commercial?
Definitely. You can see some of the behind the scenes photos on the Wirebuzz Instagram. And we were not only shooting stuff with the cameras, but also recording audio with microphones. So, you know, when they're, you know, cooking in the frying in the frying pan and the flames are coming up and we're filming it in slow motion, we're capturing that actual sound of what it sounded like to be there. And then we'll take all those elements into post-production and we're creating the edit. We can use that sound to reinforce those visuals.
That's so cool. You can almost taste it when you hear the frying pan. You know, your mouth starts watering and all those connections and love that we have for food just start happening, right?
Yeah, you don't really feel it as much if you can't hear it.
Can you give the audience some common mistakes that people make with sound, things that they should be aware of long before the shoot?
Definitely making sure that you have high quality microphones and that your audio capture is just as important as your video capture. A lot of people, when they're producing videos, like even if you're doing something on your smartphone, people focus on the video quality and knowing the megapixel count of their camera and their phone, but they're not really thinking about putting a microphone on the person. So that's kind of number one mistake that people make, is just ignoring sound altogether. And then they're looking at the video and they're like, yeah, this doesn't look that good. Part of the reason it doesn't look good is because it doesn't sound good. The second thing I would say a lot of people do wrong is choose the wrong type of music. A lot of people think music is kind of just like a throwaway, or we'll put something on there and it's, you know, it's whatever. Music is really important because that also helps whoever's watching the video, the viewer, to feel what you want them to feel. There's so much emotion that music can evoke in somebody that if you want them to feel sad or you want them to feel happy or you want them to just feel motivated, all of that, almost all of it, is driven by the sound of the music. And so choosing the right music is really important. We'll spend hours, days picking the right song for some of our projects just because it is that important.
And this is the way I did it. You know, keep in mind, I haven't edited in quite some time, you know, since Stronz came into Wirebuzz some 3 years ago. I've got to lay down my really mad editing skills. But I always would play the video and then simultaneously play my audio samples. And as I was doing it, I kind of feel the vibe to see if they are, you know, complementary.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
There's always a sound in your head. You should have a sound in your head of what you want it to sound like.
It's kind of like a theme of the video, right?
Yeah. And so if you have a budget that allows, you can get music composed to be exactly how you want. A lot of people are working with smaller budgets, so then they have to rely on kind of stock music or royalty-free music. And that's not bad because there's a lot of options out there. But going through that kind of trying to find the song that matches what you hear in your head and then playing around with different options. Don't just pick your first choice and say it's good enough. Try out choice 2, choice 3, choice 10, and see what makes you feel the way you want to feel when you're watching that piece of content.
Hey, didn't we have an experience in the last year or so where a client wanted a certain song that they've heard on the radio in their video?
Yeah, they had asked for a very specific, expensive type of song that was like a pop song on the radio. And a lot of times that's just not doable just because of licensing fees and just the cost to entry is so high. But in those situations, we're usually able to find something that's a close match or a good fit or something that maybe they just like that it's an electric guitar in the song. And so you find something with an electric guitar, or maybe they like the mood that a particular song sets. You can find something with a similar mood. So there's a lot of relations that you have to make, because like music is one of those things that the moment you hear a song, it reminds you of something. And there's so many songs that now just remind you of commercials because they took a famous song from 20 years ago, relicensed it for an ad on TV. And now anytime you hear that particular song, you think of that commercial. It's that strong. So really keeping that music choice in mind is really important.
When you're working on a video, Stronz, is this just one piece of music that's in a video, or does sometimes the music change or the tempo change? I mean, explain that whole thing to me.
A lot of times, depending on the length of the video, that'll dictate how many different songs we'll use or if we'll use music at all. So a longer video would usually be a candidate for more options rather than less. But even like a short video could have a couple different songs within it, because just like the video itself is changing, we're editing and changing to different shots and different angles and showing different things, the story is changing as well. So depending on the script or the story that's being told, there should be a narrative progression, kind of a beginning, middle, and end. And oftentimes that will be represented in the music track as well. So the music might start a certain way and then build or change or switch songs entirely to something else to kind of match and have that kind of feel for what's happening narratively. So the music isn't just like one note all the way through. Sometimes it is. It just depends on the type of piece, the type of video we're producing. But oftentimes the music will change to correlate with that narrative change.
Now, I've noticed that when you're trying to get music into the right spot, you might jimmy it to the left and then back to the right. But when you hit that sweet spot and the music's tempo hits at the right place that's happening in the video, it's kind of like a love connection that takes place. Like, that's a really great moment when you get it to fit in, right?
Yeah, it is so much of the video is that sound, the music. It really is 50% of the video is the sound.
Look, Stronz, often in our videos, we're using a voiceover. Voiceovers are also known as VO. And finding the right voiceover artist is a make or break point in that video, right? Sometimes clients want to use somebody in-house. Sometimes the advice is you've really got to go with somebody that is comfortable speaking on mic, that is a VO artist. Let's start off and talk about first why you don't want somebody in your office being the VO person and why you'd rather have a pro do the audio.
I would guess that at least 90% of anyone's business, the staff, is not trained for voiceover or speaking authoritatively on camera or confidently, even just recording sound in a sound booth.
So, even me. I mean, I had years in radio. I know that, you know, that I'm not a Ginsu knife for VO. I know it's a certain specialty. Those are the people that knock down commercials all day long, not me, and I won't come near VO. It's a whole different art.
Yeah. And a part of that too is just the sound. People sound different. You have a particular speaking voice. I have my voice. Everyone's got a different sound. And you want to make sure that that voiceover in your video matches the tone and feel. Just like the music is really important and making sure it has the right vibe, the voice and whoever's guiding that narrative is really important in the selection too. So is it male? Is it female? What's the tone? Do they sound more like a reporter or are they more conversational? There are so many different options when it comes to voiceover that chances are it's probably not someone in your office. That's the cheapest way to do it, but it's often the worst way to do it because it just makes the video sound amateur when you have an amateur doing the voiceover.
So really with the voiceover, you want to make it feel just like the rest of the audio, kind of seamless and a part of the experience, and you don't want to bring attention to the voiceover. It should just jive.
Yeah, it should feel natural, like it's a part of the overall piece. It shouldn't stand out in any way of like, oh, that's an interesting choice. Why did they go for that? I mean, you can think of the famous narrators, like Morgan Freeman is an obvious one that comes to mind. Everyone loves his voice, but his voice is fitted for the types of projects that he usually does, whereas it wouldn't really make sense in maybe like a Mountain Dew commercial or like a Red Bull commercial or something like extreme sports. It would just be kind of like an odd fit. Maybe it would work. Maybe it'd be a fun experiment to play around with, but everyone's got a particular sound and it means something. It resonates with people in a certain way.
Would Morgan Freeman be the odd fit for narrating in an airport?
No, you know, like that's a perfectly fine place.
I just bring it up because Strons and I were stuck in Birmingham?
Yeah.
Birmingham, Alabama. And Morgan Freeman was the voice of the airport. I guess it's his hometown, but it took us like an hour of being like, we just keep hearing Morgan Freeman talk to you about where not to park and, you know, be on the lookout for any suspicious activities. It just felt like it was in the wrong element.
It stands out. And that's the thing. If you're going to use someone, a particular voice for voiceover in a video, you usually don't want it to stand out. You want to click play on the video, the music matches, the video matches, and the voiceover matches. And that's why going through, you know, hundreds of thousands of samples sometimes to pick the perfect voice is just as important as when you're going through casting for something and you want to, you know, someone to look a certain way and getting the right actors. It's just as important for voice as it is like how they look.
What's the experience like as a client? If I'm a client and I'm working with your team here at Wirebuzz, do I say like, I think it should be a woman? And then maybe a middle-aged woman, let's say, if that's who their target customer is, right? You use the target customer kind of be in the age range of the voice.
Typically, you want something to be kind of peer-to-peer. So whoever's watching the video, your ideal candidate to be watching the video, it should probably come from that perspective or that persona.
Yeah, peer-to-peer is a really big concept that I think most people forget. But as soon as you go peer-to-peer and it doesn't feel like there's a disconnect, then the person who's watching it really resonates with them. How do we do it? It's been a long time since I've offered clients options on voiceover artists. Do we provide them like here's three different options or?
Typically what we do is we ask for their initial input. Just like I was talking about before with the music in your head, the something you hear that you're like, it should sound kind of like this. What does the voiceover need to sound like? And we get that information from the client. What do you imagine? Male, female, older, younger, more formal, more casual? And oftentimes they won't really know. And based on the project and working with our producers and the video team, figuring out what we think it should kind of sound like, we usually have a pretty good idea of the feel of something as we're entering that voiceover stage because we've been working on the project from, you know, start, now working our way towards the finish line. And so we kind of know what it should be like. So if we don't have a lot of input from the client, we'll kind of take it upon ourselves to figure out, okay, this should be, let's say it's male, middle-aged, and more casual, you know? We'll put out, you know, audition and we'll get submissions back. And then based on the hundreds of people who submit their audition to that particular job, we'll filter through all that to kind of narrow it down to our best picks. And that's usually around 3 to 5. We don't want to overwhelm our clients with like, hey, listen to these 50 samples and who do you like? You know, we go through the task of listening to all them, filtering out all the bad ones, keeping only the very best, giving them those 3 to 5. And maybe it's a mixture. Maybe it's men and women because maybe it doesn't really matter. It could be either or. Let's, you know, here's 6 samples. Take a listen. Who do you like? And at that point, you know, usually we do a pretty good job of getting something that they're looking for. But in the case that they say, oh, you know, this isn't quite right, we want someone more X or more Y or more Z, like whatever the factor is that they're looking for, we just go back to it, resort through all those samples that were submitted and pick our new selects. And usually on that second time, if we even have to get there, we've got someone locked down who is like one of our top picks, but then their ultimate top pick. We usually let the client pick because ultimately they're the one paying for the video. We want it to feel good for them. And just because I might personally like something doesn't mean that that's what they want or represents their brand the best. You know, oftentimes we do rely on the clients to make that final decision regarding their overall brand, just like we do with revisions or any other stage in our process. We want to make sure that they're satisfied with the video. And if they don't really care, we'll obviously recommend our best recommendations, but we do leave that in their hands if they want to make that choice in determining who the voiceover is.
Okay. That's really helpful. Now, several times in this conversation, we've talked about how you don't want to draw attention to the audio, or you don't want to draw attention to different elements. You want it to just feel natural. Does that also play in when you're trying to select what is the right volume for the music that might be the music bed? You just want it to like kind of fit in?
Yeah, you don't want it too quiet where someone's straining to hear it. Like, do I recognize that song? What is that song? But you don't want it too loud where it's overpowering the voiceover or the sound effects. Audio mixing and sound design is a very precise yet imprecise art where it is a lot about feel. And oftentimes we'll listen through a piece with headphones, and then we'll listen without headphones, and then we'll listen on a proper, you know, stereo system or 5.1 system. Like, we'll go through all these different versions to make sure it sounds its best in all of those scenarios. So depending, no matter how someone's watching the video, that they're getting the experience that we intended. So audio mastering is a complex and tricky process, but it is a lot about feel. Having certain things at the foreground or up in the mix, and then pushing other things down so they're more background would be how we go about doing it most of the time in terms of getting that right feel.
Now, it's all of this attention to detail that I'm particularly interested in. And it's as I'm hearing you talk about, you know, how you have to have the right feel and how you have to finesse each one of these elements to make sure that it just kind of seamlessly works together. It makes me realize that that attention to detail is the reason why, and you probably don't even know this, but at 4:45 tonight, I've got a guy coming here that's going to create a trophy case for all these awards that you and your team have been winning here at Wirebuzz, with two new Telly Awards that came in recently. The bookshelf or the trophy shelf is going up. Congratulations on always making sure that our clients' projects turn out amazing, that they're really inspired by how their message is being told. And thank you for making sure that we're always on track with really nice completed projects that hit the mark.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's a great honor to work here and be a part of such an amazing team. And we're always looking to do the absolute best that we can and make sure that it does have that precision and attention to detail, because that's usually where, you know, the best stuff lies, is in those small details and making sure everything's ironed out perfectly, so that when someone watches the video, they don't notice what I did or what someone on my team did. They're just watching a video and having the experience we want them to have.
On a personal note, you guys, the first time I ever worked with Stranz was right after when my wife was recovering from breast cancer surgery. And I never worked on a project with you, but I've only heard people rave about you. And I did my first outing after being home and helping my wife recover. And I showed up at the shoot and it was just dialed in. And it's been like that for 3 straight years. Thank you so much. I mean, I'm so proud to be able to represent the work that you put out and have you on our team. That's your bookshelf, dude. It just keeps getting larger, more trophies and awards. And thank you for creating great work here at Wirebuzz.
Thank you.
Well, he's Stranz Vanderploeg. He's our director of video production. He is often the man behind the camera and a really great source of information when it pertains to all things video and how we make it look stunning. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
You know, one of the things that I'd like to bring up when we're talking about the sound and really the music of the video is when you're selecting your music, resist the temptation to select something that feels corporate. That's too expected, right? You should find something, the term that I use, Stranz would say it so much better than me, but he's already left the studio, the term that I would use is something that just feels organic, feels natural. It flows with the actual, the video, and you want it to just kind of effortlessly be in its place so your story can be amplified. But don't overpower, don't make it look like it's a corporate video by making it sound corporate-y, and you should be well along the way of navigating the path with really nice music and clear sound inside of your video. All right, an easy way to remember the show notes page 95 is, well, in 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing happened. To get access to the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/95. All right, if this episode was valuable, if we gave you information that makes you a better video marketer, which I know we did because that was some really good insight from Strons Vanderplug, well, all you have to do is go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Click the subscribe button, and we will make sure that each and every new episode, 2 a week, will get sent directly to your mobile device. So when you're on the go, when you're sitting in traffic, or you're at the gym, you know, I listened this morning to a podcast while I was running my 3 miles before I got myself into the office to make this great day happen. Well, we'll make sure that you get the latest episode sent directly to you. And if you're rooting for anybody who just opened up a business, an entrepreneur, or maybe somebody who needs to generate ROI at faster rates with their business, make sure you send them the episode, send them the podcast so they know how to use the most powerful tool on the internet, which is video, to amplify their sales and marketing goals. Now, check this. If your business needs to prove out ROI, if that is part of the essential function of the work you do, that if you're going to make an investment into video marketing, you should definitely get access to our video mini course. That course where I teach our secrets to guarantee your videos get ROI or return on investment, you can get access to it. It's for free to the listeners of this podcast, and it can be found at wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. All right. So that's the big details on how to make sure that the audio in your video sounds really nice. So it feels effortless. It just supports the big story and strikes the right emotions. And I'm so glad you were able to tune in for our latest episode. Look, coming up in the next episode, episode 96. Well, I'm going to break down the latest news in video marketing and show you how to use it for your business to amplify results. And then check this. We're coming up to episode 100. It's just around the corner. And there's going to be a surprise. A blast from my past is going to be spending a podcast episode with me to take you in to the early days of when I got started in video marketing, in digital marketing, and how those moments shaped my perspective. It's a surprise episode coming up, episode 100. Be prepared for it. It's going to be really good. All right. All right, my friends, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Video Marketing Mastery. My goal always remains the same. I want to teach you how to use this tool, which is revolutionizing the internet. Remember, all roads in digital marketing now flow through video. And I hope that this conversation does what it's designed to do, make you a very smart video marketing master.